momentary partial funding.
There you go. That's good. You're paying a little bit of attention. Okay, go back over there. 1 Corinthians 13. There we go. And I'm supposed to stay behind this line. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah. Oh, that's plenty of space. Right on the line. If you're not on the edge, you're taking up way too much space. Okay, where are we? All right. What kind of a miracle do you need to hear about?
The one that sets people free from themselves.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
Comes from being a pastor's son, picking up trash. My daddy told me, and he was right also. He preached the gospel 47 years. Good man. Good man. Love Jesus. Because he had me, he always made me paint the back of the building. Had me in the attic fixing things of the church. Had me cleaning up after everybody. I had to go out. One of the worst things I did was pick up cigarette butts. I hated that. Yeah. And so I had to clean up everything. And he told me, here's what he told me. It doesn't matter who sees you. It matters that the place other people won't work, that you do the best job because you're doing it for Jesus, David. So that always stuck with me. Everybody wants to do the job that gets the most recognition with the most people seeing them so that they can get the most out of men. But Jesus said, once you receive men's promptings, that is the end of your reward. So that's not what I'm after. Have you noticed? I'm after telling the truth because the truth brings freedom. Where does it say that in the Bible? That's right. Who said it quietly because they didn't know if it was right or wrong? It's John 8:32. Would you read that? Will somebody look it up and read it to us? John 8:32. I think it's right there. It might be 33, but I think she's right. Y'all got it found, somebody?
Yeah.
That's right. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, way back there, all these people was trying to get us to have a famous ministry name and all of that. Oh, the gold is nice, isn't it? Come on, God. And Ms. Hogan's not here, so I had to paint myself. But everybody wants you to do all this stuff, put your name in it, do this, do that. But I told Ms. Hogan, and so we prayed about it for 6 months. We fasted and sought the Lord. And finally, she comes in there one day and she says, what has the gospel done for you the most? And I thought about that. It has made me free. She says, that's what the truth is supposed to do for you, David. It's supposed to make you free. It's not supposed to bring you bondage or bring you more problems. If you receive the truth, it makes you free. That's where we got our name, Freedom Ministry, because of the truth and the freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Right? See that verse 10, but when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish. But it don't stop there. It becomes antiquated. The incomplete needs to constantly be dissolved away from you. If you find yourself in a place where you personally feel safe, you're in the most danger you've ever been in. And our culture forces us to seek out our personal safety and comfort. And there is nothing wrong with comfort. Every time I go home, Ms. Hogan has done something to make my life better. I'm telling you, she's going to do something to make my world turn smoother. She is an amazing human being. The gifted person, she can drive four-wheel drives better than I can. She can fix them. Boy, she fixes them sewing machines and them four-wheel drives. It's amazing. And I like that about her. Here's how we got along. We started our life like this a long time ago. We was just starting to date, and I carried her out there, and I got my 30-30 in the truck. I got my pistol stuck in my breeches. So we go out to the bayou right on this bridge, and there's these big old garfish. Them things are horrible. They eat all the game fish up. Alligators eat them, but that's a good thing. And so we're there, and I pull out my 30-30, and I'm showing to her, you know, that I'm man. And I plopped the round in, you know, and I hit this scar, and, you know, I just smile at her. She said, "Can I see that?" And I look at, you know, it stunned me. So she grabbed my rifle, shifts around in, wham! Hits that gar, hands it back. She said, "Is that what you're trying to do?" I should have known right then. Run, boy! But we've made it, and in God, together, we're making a complete unit. Yeah. I'm telling you, we're one. And I mean, it's a powerful deal. And I'm telling you right now, in my life, my wife is frightening. She is 100% right. When she tells me something, it don't matter how much I cringe, or it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. Yes. This deal, y'all, of completeness and fragmented. You gotta move forward. I can't let you hang out. I don't care how good your world is. Do you understand how good my world could be if I would change a few things? If I would lighten up on a couple of subjects, change the way I talk about a few things, and indulge a little bit of complacency. No, I know it's wrong. You ain't got to do that to me. I know it's wrong. That's why I'm not doing it. But I look around and see how my world could be a lot more monetarily valuable. How my home and clothes and lots of things could be different. But I also want to tell you that I have made a choice, personal, sit down, thought about it, and we've decided to turn away from those things, my wife and I have, together, And the way we decided, when we decided to do it, it was on April the 27th of this year. I told her, I feel like we're drifting the wrong way. And she says, David, you're as insane of a person. I ain't never met anybody as insane as you. I said, I know. And that's the problem, is that I know it. Something's wrong with that. I need a new world of insanity. I need a new place in God. Because see, I was offered, there's this, that you're not going to understand this. I feel like one of those dogs that got the shocker deal. I'm joking. They saved y'all. But you don't, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a world out there that is, I guess it's limitless in finances. There are some warehouses of, it seems like infinite wealth. And I've been offered one of them. And I'm still right now today, the threshold, I'm still on it. It's still there. The offer is on the table. But I carried it to Ms. Hogan 2 years ago when it came. I carried it and I sat down with it and I explained it to her. And she says, are there any strings attached? I said, no. They know me. They know I carry a knife. I'll just cut the strings and keep going. No strings. She says, well, if there's no strings and it'll help the brothers, isn't that what we've been looking for our whole life? I said, it seems like it. I said, I think what we need to do is sit down for 30 days, me and you. And we did. We fasted. We didn't eat, drink. I didn't drink. She drank some, she likes Diet Dr. Pepper. And, I don't. I think it, it's horrible. So it came around on the 10th day of this fast. God spoke to me to leave that wealth alone. That he was my wealth. Yes. And that he would compensate it some other way. I was thinking, surely that's got to be a devil. So I didn't say anything to Miss Hogan. I just wrote down the words exactly on a piece of paper. And so at the end of the deal, 30 days, we get back together and I said, all right, the wealth was only one of like 25 issues. There's always issues in there. If you're in ministries, there's something. It's always trying to knock you off the trail and distract you. And so I get with her and she says, she just handed me a piece of paper and word for word, it was on her paper like it was on mine. And so I was content that God had spoken to us. And it's hard to not take it. I want you to know that. I'm just being honest. It's okay if I'm honest. Yeah. It's hard not to take that because you doggummit suffer so much and you pay such a high price and all that of and the longevity of the price is the deal. It always gets people. And so what we decided to do, another salute. The second part of the word for me was the thing that brought you to the door of the wealth, stay with it. And that is not ever asking, you can ask this guy. The only thing I did was say, can we come on these days? That was it. And then it's from then on, it's him telling me What do you want? Do you want? Because he's got to ask me. I won't ask for even a drink of water. Now that's called integrity. You've got to understand there are needs immense. When you work with poor people, you cannot believe the needs. And sometimes I didn't know all of this stuff, but you got D.L. Moody believed in fleecing people when they came through the door. What's his name over in England? Huh? Mueller, on the other hand, went to his prayer closet and people came to his door and he emptied their pockets to him. And both of those men did great works for God. Moody and Mueller, those guys are wonderful, magnificent men of God. I've got nothing negative to say. It won't come out of my mouth. It just won't. You never talk negative of the anointing, ever. Under any circumstances. Regardless of your knowledge. My wife and I, way in the beginning, chose to, we called it faith. It turns out it was. It is. And now I know it to be the type of faith that Mr. Mueller had, you know, where you actually go and ask God. And I'm not against other people that do ask. I don't care. That's heaven in them. But for us, and that happens to be who God's going to see naked standing before him at his throne to judge. You're not going to be there to defend me. Hello. Same for you. Revelations somewhere. 3, I think. So, I don't know. Make sure that's right. Tim, look it up. He's the smart one right there. All right. So God told us to stay with, and so what we personally do is, my wife and I, because I'm looking for completeness. I want total. I want, when Jesus walked into a village, everybody in the village was healed. There was never, ever, when he spoke it out of his mouth, it happened 100%. That's total. That's complete. So if you're not that, you need completeness. So your level is not relevant. Completeness is. Understand? I mean, I could talk to you for the rest of my life on miracles and never get through them all. Never, ever. Ever, never. Never, ever. There was a lady in our work. Where I live, women, when I first went there, it was way worse than it is now. But, and it's not my fault. I don't change culture. I preach Jesus. Understand? Did you hear me?
Yes.
You're not called to change culture. It doesn't matter if you understand it. It doesn't matter if you agree with it. You're there to preach Jesus. Oh, that's a serious one there. Oh, I need to talk about that, but I'm going to leave it alone. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get a drink of water. Okay, so where are we? I got to tell you this story. It's really a wonderful deal. Verse 11. You know there's almost always another verse. And some of them you don't want to read. And to me, this is one of them. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Most modern lead nation Christians stay as a child. You like the coddling and the diaper changing. You like the spoon feeding. You like the bottle. You don't like having to go out there and grow your own cow and eat the meat. You don't, it takes actual maturity and knowledge to do that. You have to go forward to do that. You have to, and I'm not lumping you in with everybody. I'm going to allow you to prove me wrong by your actions, by your maturity, by the stately grace of the fresh oil in your horn, Psalms 92. Do you understand? You find that verse? Revelations what? Three what verse? What number? Yeah, that's the one. Revelations 3, what? 15, 16? 16, 17. All right. Nice. You're getting bigger. And I'm not here to rebuke you and curse you and belittle you. I'm here to lead you into maturity past your fragmentation in childhood. To do that, I've got to take you by the hand. I can't drive you with a whip. I have to lead you by example. And so my wife and I chose, all this goes together, by the way. My wife and I chose not to take the wealth. We chose because God spoke to us, because I was going to. And I still look at it every now and then. And I believe that's because I'm a human, I think. Hopefully I'm not in rebellion. And because I have this stack of invitations on my desk. It's a few thousand, around 100 and something nations. It's an awesome deal. And I never ask the size of churches, the amount of money, the type of food, the type of surroundings. I never ask any of those things. That's not relevant to me. What is relevant is the will of God and the Holy Ghost power when I get there. All right? And it does get me into some situations. But on the 27th of April this year, Mrs. Hogan and I started a 40-day fast. We sit down together. It's just us two. They're in Mexico, and we're sitting in our office in Texas, South Texas. And I'm closed off to the outside world. You know, no cell phone, no internet, no nothing. I'm closed. It's over. And on the first day, I'm a total fast person. I know that's upsetting. No water, no food, no drinks, no nothing, as long as I can take it. Just lay in the presence of God as long as I can. And I was able to this time for 10 days. That's a miracle after 4 days. It's on purpose. It's a threat to my life. And all of that. And it's on purpose, calculated, because I want heaven. I'm after completeness. Man, I want God. I can't tell you. He was explaining to me earlier about how he feels and intensity and so forth. But he, you know, and I'm looking at him. I'm just vibrating, you know, as he's talking to me. I'm going to show you a few levels you ain't even thought of yet, son. and I'm not going to read them to you out of the Bible, even though I can, because Moses, Elijah, Jesus, all these men that I want to be like, every one of them didn't eat for 40 days or drink for 40 days. And every one of them, God, full glory came to. And I'm going to be like those guys. I am. I'm going to be complete in the name of Jesus. And the way you do it is you get in His presence. You don't let anything knock you off the trail. No matter what. No matter the price. It's longevity of submission that brings about the reality of the truth. It does. And so, I'm sitting there looking at Ms. Hogan, and you know, and we're happy to, and because we're both of us are right at 60, we're coming up on 60 years old, and we're happy to be examples and be what people can look at, and honestly, it be a truth. A truth. I said a truth. I don't know who's right. I know that I'm following the gospel, and I hope I'm close. How about that? And I am a definite person too. Believe it. I have an opinion on everything. Old as I am, I got it figured out and everything for me. I'm going to stay there. It's working. So, and we decided, this is what we decided. She was a little nervous because I am such an extremist. You can't believe how calm I'm being for you, not to frighten you. I'm sorting my words out so that you won't be completely blown off. So at least you'll leave, be left with some skin, you know. And so she says, all right, how long are you going to do this? I said, I'm going to go as long as I can. All right, I'm fine, she says. What do you want? I said, I think I want you and I to read through the Bible together for 30 days, in 30 days. So we figured out how many chapters there was, and it's something like, I don't know, what is it, 1,090-something or 60-something chapters. And so we just did that by 30 days, and that's how many we was going to do a day. So I chopped it up, chopped the Bible up into four sections, and we went after it. You cannot believe how enlightening, how much enlightenment there is when you read the entire Bible straight through as fast as you can. God changes. He is a magnificent being. His plan is wonderful for us. He is 100% right, and we are 100% wrong. At our best state, we're nothing more than foolishness. Figure out whoever the best person that there's ever been, and you put them upside Jesus, and they're just foolishness. It's His mercy, it's His grace, it's who He is in us that makes us anything. It's amazing. Now, saying that, because that's who I want to be, is who He is. I don't have any other aspirations in my life. I have overcome them all. I want to be like Jesus. My goal is Psalm 17, the last verse. I will only be happy when I wake up in your likeness, O God. Let's read that. I want to read that. Just for my own personal consumption. Psalm 17 is the very last verse. As for me, verse 15, I will continue beholding your face in righteousness. Hallelujah. This is my goal. Every day to behold the face of the Lord in righteousness, justice, and rightness, and right standing with Him. To walk with you, Father. Now look, if anything satisfies you besides this, you're incomplete. So that's all of us. Got it? I like to fish. I'm incomplete. It satisfies me. I'm not kidding you. The other day I got to go in South Texas. I got to go. Does anybody know speckled trout? Son, I got to go speckled trout fishing. They're called Atlantic speckled trout, and they're all in the Gulf, and there's, I guess, trillions of them things. And most of, in South Texas, you're only allowed to keep five where we fish. I don't get to fish much, but every now and then.
And they have to be 15 inches or bigger. And you can only have one over 28 inches. They're intent on the population being big and healthy and strong. And that's a great thing, in my opinion. Because I like to catch them. And I have not fished much since I got born again because I used to be possessed. Possessed with fishing and hunting. I had no other life. Work was secondary. My family was secondary. Trapping, hunting, and fishing was my entire consumed life. And I was very good at it. And then the Holy Ghost interrupted my life. I remember the day that I gave away my boat, my nets, my guns. I had 17 guns, high-powered caliber, lots of other ones. When I came back from giving all of my junk away, my wife was laying in the floor in a puddle of tears. Now, I thought something really drastic happened. And so, man, I get down there. What's the matter, man? What's wrong with you, dude? She says, "You haven't been lying to me. You just gave your gods away." And from that moment on, we've been a pretty good team, you know. And because I told her the truth. She liked that. And but since then, now in the last little while, a couple pastors brought me fishing and that. And so it's back in my life, but now in moderation, very light moderation. But the other day I was fishing. Son, I'm telling you, and on the boat I was on was some of the ladies that I work with. They're great soldiers. They haven't been ever fishing in their life. And I thought because of the stress of our work, there's no describing to you the pressure we're under right now. God's forming some wonderful diamonds in us, and we will yield in Jesus' name. And so I asked these husbands and my wife and everybody if it's okay to bring these people fishing because they've never been fishing and wow, the fish is biting and wow, and it'd be fun. So I bring them out there in the first 2 hours. I couldn't believe how hard it is to keep people fishing. I've never been a guide in my life. I don't think I would. I didn't like it. Had to bait, had to cast, had to everything. It was horrible. And there was a whole stack of them in there, and I was working, you know, and nobody was, they couldn't catch them. It was awful in there. Everything. It was weird. Finally, one of them hooked up. Y'all know what a red drum is? Son, I like catching them things. And one of them hooked up on a red drum, and once the other ladies saw her catch, I told them, I said, "Now, I want every one of you on one of those fish. You have to have that feeling of what that feels like to have that 25-inch fish trying to pull you in the ocean. And they've never, ever experienced it." So I said to them, "This is what we're going to do." We stopped. Everybody put their rods down. I said, "Now say this with me. In the name of Jesus, fish, God gave me dominion over you." And we all prayed the dominion deal. Now I said to them, "Fish, come to these ladies' hooks in Jesus' name." We threw everybody's rod back in and they never stopped. There was so many fish. And these ladies caught on to the dominion deal. And the whole, when it goes under you, when you're feeling pulling, you're supposed to pull back thing. And, we started loading the boat, man. Limits was coming in and I was happy. Cause they actually outfished their husbands. And that blessed me on top of the world. Cause men have this deal about that. And it's so much fun when you can just topple their little world. For the right reason, of course. And so, and I'm out there. Finally, they caught on to the casting, the baiting, and I'm just sitting there going, the amount of patience was not very much compared to the results. Understand it? And so I'm enjoying myself. So finally, I picked my rod up and I threw it out there. First three casts, my line was broke three times. The fish was so large, and I had never done that. I could fish. Bang! So I restrung on the boat. You don't do that. I restrung my rod, threw it out there. The next cast, now listen to me, you talk about a miracle. I saw the water's only, it's the bay. And the water's only that deep. I saw him glint sideways and go this way and hit my cork started singing across that water. And man, I reared back on that thing. I thought it was a redfish because of the way it was running. And I thought, this is a bull red, meaning over 28 inches. Man, I'm fighting this thing. 20 minutes later, we get him up close to the boat. And it wasn't. It was a once in a lifetime 30 inch and a quarter speckled trout.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there, listen, you cannot believe the mileage I can get out of preaching this. Because people who are not organized and don't know how to do something, most people write them off and won't train them. But we need to have the patience. Because God wants you with a trophy. The way you get to your trophy is through patience and honor. You listening? Calm down. You're going to get that trophy. Do you understand that I am, that there's people that have hunted and fished that bay for 30 years and never caught anything over 28 inches? And you'd think everybody would be happy because you're so blessed. They, listen to me, the more blessed you are, the more hate there is. And then now you've got a new world to contend with. Most of us think because now my life's sorted out, straightened out, and I've got some trophies, God's with me, things are good, everybody's going to be blessed by it. It's the contrary. It's the opposite. They hate you. They want you a drug addict, a prostitute, a pimp, a murderer, a thief. They want you so they can dominate you. But you full of the Holy Ghost running around getting trophies, they can't control you no more. You are under the power of completeness and total. Oh yeah, and I'm right about this. Which brings me to the lady in the work. In our world in Mexico, women are really still underfoot. And I don't treat my wife that way. I don't give a flip what anybody says. I don't care who it hair lips or displeases. Ms. Hogan treats me like a king because I treat her like a queen. And that's how it's going to be and stay. I like being treated like a king. Get that kingship is because you know how to make somebody a queen. And people around me start picking up on that. I'm aggressive on all kinds of things. But boy, when it comes to Miss Hogan, I like her. So, and people, have you figured that out yet? All right. So, you know, she's morphed, she's old, she's a grandma, you know. She's not even close to the person. She's 15 people away from the one I married. You know, and all of that. But none of that matters. I'm sorry, it's just how it is. It's the truth, and truth has to come out. But I told her in this fast, I said, I got her picture and I brought it to her. I said, I want this one back. And she says, you stuck with this one, honey? And I got her and held her and I said, thank you for that response. Because that's the response I was looking for. Because I'm happy with the one I got. Because this is the one God gave me. And it makes me blessed. So anyway, in our work, because of my joy about my wife, it works, it gets in other people. And so this lady in our work, a pastor's wife, she come up, their children got up, and there's not enough money. There never is there? It's rare if it is. There's a 12% of people that live with enough. Everybody else lives in need. That's true. Look your numbers up. That's even in here in the United States. Even in Europe. It's the same. Okay. So her kids need clothes. Because where we live, the schools tell you what you're going to wear, how you're going to wear, what you're going to look like. And it's a good idea that everybody is the same, except for in our tribes, they can't even come up with that. So it puts a lot of stress on things. So the mom had to go, she's barefooted, she don't even own underwear, and she's got only one dress on. And that's all she owns. And she shows up at this multimillionaire's house. I know this guy. Bangs on his door. And the head of the household comes. He's got something like 100-something people that work there. I don't want to call them servants because that's not the right word. But it seems like it is how it is. And he comes there and he says to her, "We don't give beggars anything." See, it's amazing how the comfort world views you. You may not be a beggar. You may be a child of a king. But their perception of you is how they view it. So I'm cautioning you with that. That's what I'm doing. So this woman says, "I'm here to work. My kids are in school. Please, I'll do anything. I don't care what the jobs are." And he says, "All right, I'll go ask, but they're not going to let you work here. You're an Indian. You look at you. They cannot allow you in the premises." She says, "I cannot help who I am." And look, you cannot be offended, see? This is what I've got to get you past, the fragmented deal. Because the fragmented deal is fragmented because of offense. Understood?
Yes.
The reason it's fragmented is because you've taken on something that you shouldn't have never picked up. So it don't allow the total to be there all the time. Because you got something else in its place. So what I'm saying is, I guess, it's your fault the reason the total's not here. And once we accept responsibility for that, we can fix that. But until, as long as you stay in denial and it's always somebody else's fault, you'll never get the total. You know, I'm right about this. I'll tell you, I know it's my fault. I am the least, and I'm going to God for the most. I'm going to do this. So there you go. And so this lady, she didn't take offense. She didn't take, boy, oh boy, you can raise up so easily to defend yourself. It's not your fault. You was born this. This was happened. That was happened. On and on and on goes. So she says, "Please. Okay, I'll go ask." So he goes in there and they gave her this scrubbing job. Boy, it was rough. But she's happy, happy, happy. What's some more stuff coming? She's happy, happy, happy. Boy, she's happy. And it's the worst, stinkiest, ugliest job there is. Using chemicals, but she didn't care. Got to take care of them kids. Y'all know, some of y'all. And so, but while she's there, see, the whole deal, the humiliation, the lack, everything is orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. If you're yielded to Him, He's in charge of your whole world. That means it's going to change. What does it say in Romans? Everything works together for who? For the good of who? The called. If that's who you are, that's who I am. All right. She's in there and she's working. She's a good worker. Boy, she wants this so bad. She ain't allowed. Everybody's humiliating her, making fun of her. Because that's just what you do to the people you're standing on. Isn't it? I said, isn't it? And I'm telling you, it's sin, so stop it. You lift people. You don't stand on them. Everybody is our equal. You dressing differently and having better doesn't mean they're worse. It means they need you to help them. Woo! So, day goes by day, and all of a sudden, but while you're there, you hear things, right? You're on the job, you hear stuff. She don't have any right to speak because she's the lowest of all. So she's working. She hears about the main guy, the actual owner of that world. He is the most educated man in their area. He is the most wealthy. I'm talking several hundred million U.S. dollars. This boy is powerful. Governor comes in a helicopter, sits on his house to talk to him to get advice. He goes frequently to Mexico City to the president to give advice. I mean, this man is connected. But he has a problem. He's got leprosy. Now, guess who God has there?
Come on.
The lowest member of the world is scrubbing the worst places of his world. He don't know she exists. He don't know anything about her. But God brought her there with a good attitude in a hostile event toward hell, just looking to fight. I know, I told her myself. If you don't fight hell in a day, you must repent. I teach my people from the day they're born again, they can raise the dead. It's not about what you know, it's about who changed you, who forgave you, who loves you, who blesses you. His name is Jesus. It's not about other people's opinion of your value. It's about His opinion of your value when He raised His Son from the dead for you. And I'm right about this. Oh, God. Yeah. Whew. So, she finally, after several days, heard about the owner, the master guy. They call him the amo, el amo de la casa. And she heard about it. Both of his legs are eaten off just above the knees by leprosy. I'm just going to get you. This is not my fault. I'm hunting satisfaction like everybody else. But it's not in hamburgers or clothes or cars or some sort of religious deal. It's in the blood covenant of the Great One. It's in the resurrection power of the Mighty One. The Holy Child. Jesus. Shaitana. Man, this is what it feels like when you raise the dead. The way I feel right now is how it happens when you raise the dead. I'm serious. This is what you feel like when they get up right here. Woo! Man, I like this. My goodness, thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, my goodness, I like this. Man, I'm electrified. My goodness. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He said, I'll be lifted up from the earth. I will draw all men. You lift Him high enough, they'll come to it, buddy. I'm right. I'm so happy. I wish Ms. Hogan was here to see it. My goodness. So she heard about this Amo, the owner guy. And she went, she just left her scrub brush. And she did what Christians do. Born again, Holy Ghost, blood bought, Christians. She went to her boss, said, I heard the amo of the house has leprosy. Is that true? He said, it is. She said, I need to see him. See, it depends on your agenda as to who you're intimidated by. Don't it? I said, don't it? Man, I love this. See, all of a sudden, her fear has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. All of a sudden, her needs for money have been dissolved away by the needs around her. You hearing me? Because she's going to lose her job. There's no way they're going to let her stay. They are religious demons. There are shrines everywhere. All in that house. Thousands of dollars for these demon idol devils. Cowards. So, she goes there. He says, look here, darling. You go back to work. What are you going to think you're going to tell him anyway? Oh, I know how to get him healed. He begins to explain to her. Like all of y'all do, the great excuses you have. I've been to the best doctors, been to the best hospitals, paid the best money. He had been to America, to Japan, to South America, to Europe to be healed of his leprosy. And no one can heal leprosy but God. And so she said, I can get him healed. I promise you I can get him healed. He said, you cannot promise that. She said, I can promise you that. He said, listen to me. You go back and do your job because we're going to lose. You're going to lose your job. And your kids schooling and everything's going to be out the window. She said, nothing doing. You understand the price she's willing to pay? She said, it's your life. He went in there and talked to the guy. You know, because even though he run the whole house, he still had to get an audience with the fellow. And he cursed him out. Because just like me, I know there's no cure, just like he does. I know that man. He is a ruthless individual. And the head of his house said, look, please, 5 minutes.
Fine. So here she goes, barefooted. No, she don't have any. Only thing she's got is a little old slip-over dress. She goes walking in there. She smells. She's an Indian. She smells like a village. And he looks at her. You got 5 minutes. How do I get healed? She said, it's easy. His name is Jesus. You repent, you devil, and God will heal you. Or you die in your sickness and you go to hell. See, your world don't make allowances for people like us. But I gladly stand behind every word she said. Because it's very healthy when you stand up for Christ. Because he has a tendency to get beside you and not back you, stand in front of you and protect you. He said, get out! So the guy that hired her took her physically threw her out the back door. Bang, bang, bang. So she went to the park of the city, that little town, and she's there crying, explaining to God just how she was misused and abused, and explaining to God just how rough those people were to her and why should it happen, since she was doing the will of God and loving him and telling him the truth. And she, and all of a sudden the guy that threw her out found her. Come now with me. And he grabs her, forced her, those guys with her. They brought her back and threw her down at the guy, the rich guy's. He's laying on the mat because he don't have no legs. Threw her down there and he says to her, help me. She said, I'll be right back. She took off. She ran back to the village 2.5 hours. Gets her husband, the pastor. Brings him back and runs in there. He's dragging his feet. Nothing. He don't want to go up in there. And she said, I can't explain it to you like he can. But he's going to explain to you the gospel. And you're going to get born again. And you're going to get healed. So her husband, same courage came on him because it's catching. See, courage is catching. It don't matter how much fear and dread and intimidation is available. If somebody can have a little bit of courage, it somehow makes its way in and starts taking over everything. Courage in the Lord Jesus is a dominant effect. Very dangerous, but it's dominant. He explained the gospel to that man, and that guy, here's his exact words: what must I do to be saved? He gets born again. They lay their hands on him. Nothing happened. And he said, I'll be right back. Pastor gets on a bus, comes to my house. Bang, bang, bang on my door. We need you. We need you right now. I said, so he explained the whole deal to me, and I'm just sitting there. I ain't going. You're crazy. That guy kill all of us. He won't. He got born again. Now just go get me. Let's get in your truck and let's go. So I went in there and changed my boots. Told Miss Hogan, I'll never see you again. She pats me on the back. I'll see you at the wild. We'll leave the light on for you. Woo! I went out there. I couldn't believe it. I went up in this opulence. You know, and it really doesn't affect me anymore, but it's just beautiful to me. I admire those statues. I hate them, but they're beautiful. They're, wow, you know, they got all these gold and all this stuff, and they're just pretty. And so I walk up in there, man, there he is. Oh no. And what I had heard about him was true, because I met him before he lost his legs, and then now he lost his legs, and I go up in there and I said, I guess they told me you're born again. He said, yes, I'm born again.
He said, now David, they told me that your God's going to give me, you know, heal me. I said, who told you that? He said, she did. And she looks right at me. She says, you told us in the last time you was in our village to do this. Yep, I did. And I turned and looked at him. She's right. Her courage got on me now. You hear me? And we sit down there. Listen to me. It's a long story and funny. I ain't going to go through it. I'm tired of talking. It took us, it was about 3 or 4 weeks, right in that range, about a month or a little bit less than a month. God, not only did he heal that guy, he grew 2 new legs. It's called creation. It's called creation. Creation. God said, let there be. Show me the verse where he stopped it. Anybody, y'all are smart people, y'all are in school. Show me the verse where he said, stop letting it be. What was that? I know, it's not there. Oh, but I've never seen it. Oh, but I don't believe that. Oh, like you count? What counts is the word of God. Now, come on. I'm telling you, fragmentation is wrong. Completeness and wholeness is right. Total is right. Jesus is right. Resurrection power is right. We can do this. I'm so glad to be part of that deal. Whenever he got his new legs, I couldn't help it. I just couldn't. I had to get down there and feel of them and feel of them new toes. I've done that several times. We've had so many creation miracles. And I just have to feel of the new stuff. Arms and legs and toes and hearts and ears and eyes. What about that one? I tell you what, put that in your pipe and smoke it and I'll get some more for you. Because it says, I shall be fully satisfied when I awake to find myself beholding your form and having sweet communion with you. Is that not what it says? Yes. Now go back to Isaiah 12. Because there's a string of things I want to talk about just for a moment. You talk about changing your world. You get a multi, especially somebody with hundreds of millions, saved, and you can do something. There are governors, there are people saved. You ought to see who God's saving these people now. You ought to see it. It's phenomenal. There's a guy that got born again in South Mexico that he's super powerful. His family, I don't know how many hundreds of millions they are, but they got factories. They're very wealthy people, and this guy gets born again. The family, the mafiosos, the cartels can't afford somebody of that caliber to get born again. So they capture this individual. And it's the whole scenario, the guns, the scary, the hood over here, and the tie up, the whole deal. They get him out in the monte, out there in the jungle. Cut him loose, take the hat off of him, and he knows all these people. And he says to, where are you going to take me to kill me? Why you got to take me so far? Why don't you just kill me right here? Well, we've been ordered. We got specific things we got to do. So he starts talking to him about Jesus and about his life and how he's been born again, how God has radically changed his life. And one of the guys starts talking to him favorably. Now this is a murderer. This is a paid assassin. You understand? The other assassins tell him, chill out. And they cursed him out. Stop that. And all of a sudden, remember Paul? He figured out some of them were sad you sees and others were fair you sees. So he spoke into the Sadducees, and the Pharisees got hostile about him. And what happened? Confusion broke out. What happened to Paul? They released him. So he began to speak into this guy's life, I mean prophetically, quoting verses to him. He didn't know but a couple of verses. He hadn't been saved very long. And he spoke into this guy's lives. And this favorable guy told the rest of them, we need to let this guy go. There ain't nothing wrong with this man. And the other guys turned. Do you understand who paid us? If we don't kill him, they'll kill us and our families. And he turns it, the favorable guy turns his AK-47 on the unfavorable bunch and just opened fire. And they turned back and they started a firefight. And while the firefight's on, the guy that preaching took off running. He got away. Did you hear me? The results of the life and death thing is not valuable. What's valuable is God's deliverance. You understand? In our world, that's not possible, is it? What happened was intervention. What happened was God's power. What happened is the worthiness of the kingdom came forward and changed the situation. Verse 3 says, therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. How hard could it possibly be to preach when these guys are fixing to assassinate you? How hard could it possibly be to preach in a home of multiple millions where there's no cure and you're standing there, the lowest rank of all, and you need this job, but you must preach? See, everything has to be done with joy. That's why I'm telling you it's the same. It started out in the other session. It's all the same. As long as you're in the joy of the salvation of God. That's why you must understand God's mind. God's mentality, God's opinion is what's favorable in the situation. It says right here, in that day, see, here we are back to that. Verse 1 was, and says, in that day. Verse 4 says, and in that day, give thanks to the Lord. What's the first thing you do? I've got the Amplified. They don't have it up there. That's all right. I'll just tell you out of here. There's a list in the Amplified. The first thing you're going to do is call on God. See, whatever your situation is, it doesn't matter. If it's favorable or not, the first thing you do is call. God, woo! Help! It says, call upon His name. Now, this is how you call upon His name. There's another list. You ready? By means of solemn entreaty, you declare, you make known His deeds. What do you think I'm doing here? I'm declaring to you the goodness of God. I'm speaking over you the truth of the gospel. And it works. When we do it His way, it works. It changes environment. It changes everything. Nothing can stay the same. If it's negative around you, gospel joy changes it. Declare and make known His deeds among the people of the earth. Proclaim. Do you understand? I've been declaring to you. I have not made any options other than declaration. Do you understand? I'm exalting Jesus. There is no other means I'm presenting to you other than the resurrection power of the name of Jesus. I've got it isolated because this is God's way. God's way. I'm telling you, I saw a young woman with a baby with no eyes the baby was born without eyes. It's about 3 years ago or so. Could be 4 years ago. I lose track. They always fussing at me about it. But this baby was born without eyes. There's no gospel. The surrounding area has zero Christians. And one of our American missionaries and one of our directors, we call them that, they're elders. This guy they go 3 villages past our perimeter, which is pioneer stations that we have. That are brand new opening up places. It's 3 villages past and they find this baby born without eyes. And they lay their hands on it. And the third day after they prayed, I was in the perimeter, in one of the brand new works. So all these people came. It was a big deal and wow and frightening. And Miss Hogan was there and all this stuff. And it's really amazing. The Holy Ghost fell on us. And then this woman comes up and shoves this baby at me. I don't know anything about it. I thought, because I always get the broke stuff, you know. Everything they give to me is always broke. And I thought the baby, because I'm a grandpa, I took all the clothes off of it. I got it here naked in front of me. I'm trying to find out what's broke, what's the matter, tumors or no, some body part that's missing or something. And that baby was healthy. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, a certain amount of experience that being a grandpa, and you can understand a few things. And so I put the clothes back on the baby, and I start talking to the lady, and all of a sudden she starts screaming, bang, she falls down. So then I get the American missionary up there, and I'm explaining my problem to him that I don't know what's going on. He bang falls down. And then I get the Indian elder up there. I didn't know they were the exact guys that gone prayed for this exact baby that didn't have eyes. I didn't know any of this. And boom, he falls down. And I told Miss Hogan, this baby's got power. I got to have this. We got to buy this baby. I'm going to adopt this. We got to have this kid. This kid's got power. And she says to me, help yourself.
Help yourself.
I said, all right, I'll do it. I'll buy this little critter. As soon as mama gets up, I'll just give her some money and just take it home with me. And y'all, I know that don't suit y'all's world, but y'all wrong, so. Because if the mama would have given that baby to me, I'd have took it. That's just what you do. So, anyway. All of a sudden, you know, they all start getting up and everything and find out that the baby just 3 days ago, because the witch doctor was there and all his cronies, and they were all there to find out how the baby had grown eyes. And so here comes the witch doctor up after seeing all that display of power, just like in Acts chapter 8. What was that guy's name, Bartimaeus or something? Or Simon. Sorcerer. He comes there and he's telling me, man, what is this power you got? And I'm looking right at him. You're a witch doctor. You should know. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the thing you're always trying to overcome. And he says to me, I want this power. I said, then the way you get it is you bow. I said, you cannot get it by buying it. There's not enough chickens in the world to get this. You don't, there ain't enough blood to sacrifice to get this. He said, I don't care what it takes, I'm getting it. And a whole batch of them got born again. Every one of them. It's easy starting churches, you see. You just get new eyeballs popping in people's heads. That was my first time to see double eyeballs pop. My first time. I was very happy to see that. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, y'all stand up, please. My son told me we got to go eat. Good, buddy. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to pray. Is that all right? Now, I'm not going to pray for individuals per se. But if you understand this completeness that I'm looking for. And you do realize that I'm not trying to be overbearing or rude to you or unmannerly. I'm trying to walk in love in 1 Corinthians 13, and I want the best for us. I want us to go past the immaturity to the maturity in Christ.
Come on.
I'm not challenging your character or none of that. I'm telling you the church as a whole is immature. It's lost. It really, there's lots of moves around. There's lots of great power shifts around. I'm involved in a lot of them. And there's gold and diamonds and there's shaking and there's rattling, but there are very few changes taking place.
Come on.
We need our hearts rattled. Like our flesh is being rattled by the presence of God. And I'm all for it. You see me. I'm serious. I'm blessed. I'm electric. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Man. But if that's you, just come right down here on that little old line. If you really, really are serious about it, step it on in. Because a lot of you are neck deep already, but we got to go deeper. We got to lose ourselves completely. And I'm not challenging you under any circumstances. Me too. Wherever the line is, just a little patch is great. That's right. That's right. Just to be legal.
Come on, mercy.
Y'all, this is for me. I'm speaking for myself. I want this. I'm on the trail of it. I'm hunting this coon. I want it so bad. This old dog here still hunting. If you come in here and you're sick in your body and you need God to touch you, just go right ahead. It's okay to be healed. It's okay. It's part of the package. It's part of the completeness, the wholeness, the wellness, the goodness, the mercy. Come on, Holy Ghost. Change our heart, oh God. You know, when that thing came out, that changed my heart, oh God thing, I've listened to it nearly every day for the last 10 years. Man, I want my heart changed. I want my mind submitted. I want my flesh overcome by the blood covenant power. Come on, mercy, touch us. Redeem us, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Take away our insensitivity. Make us sensitive to your presence, your goodness, your welcome, God. And I appreciate the platform that y'all have given the Holy Ghost to work. I do. It's here. I'm free. I feel it. And I thank God for his mercy and grace. Now let Jesus take us another step. Some of you are newer. You're just ankle deep. That's okay. Let's go on out to knee deep. Some of you have been at knee deep a while. Let's go on out to waist deep. Some of you have been at waist deep for a while. Let's go on out to neck deep. But there's some of you been in it, your neck deep, and you know you are. Let's just abandon ourselves. Now I do want to not threaten you, but advise you that when you do step into God, the enemy does grow too. But I promise you, God's mercy is big enough to overcome whatever evil may present itself to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fire of the gospel come upon us. Redemption overcome us. Repentance grow in our hearts. God, we apologize to you for our humanity. God, we just do. I'm sorry we're humans. But Lord Jesus, you chose to use us and you love us so much. And we thank you for the pressure that's forming us into the jewel of preference. Shetana. Katene. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Great Holy Ghost. Be healed. Be filled. Mercy and grace be poured out upon us abundantly. Guidance and direction. Holy Ghost, fresh oil. And life and strength in Jesus' name.
Wow. Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Come on, let it fill us up. Let God fill your cup up. Come on, that's right, cup. Drink that thing. Come on. Call upon the Lord. Declare His wonderful work to the children of men. Come on. Pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. From the Shekinah glory of God. It's our inheritance of the saints of the Lord. It's kingdom authority. It's mine! It's mine! It's mine! Because of the goodness of God. Because of the mercy of the Lord. Because of the wholeness of restoration. Woo! Come on, mercy! Come on, mercy. It's for the equipping of the saints. For the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray, Lord. For people on our right and on our left. We pray for those in authority over us. We pray for our government on a county level. Our government, every city, every ruler. We pray for our governors. We pray for our police. We pray for them, O God, that the kingdom covenant will abide and abound. We pray for on the presidential level, every committee. We rebuke the devour off this nation. We call on the mercy and the Lord God, Holy Ghost, revival power. In Jesus' name, God bless America.
Don't be in a hurry to move from this place. They're not going to lay hands on everybody. Your heart before God is your altar. Some of you don't need to just walk away quickly. It's time to kneel before Him. Even if you want to get up and give people room, get on these stairs. Surrender yourself. Yield yourself to Holy Spirit. Let the grace that's in this room come on you right now. This is not a charismatic event. It's your heart before the Lord. You give yourself to Him. Come on. It's what we teach all the time. It's your life before Him. You have the privilege of His presence. He's opened the door through the blood of Christ to let you in. Don't run from this moment quickly. You'll know when it's time to get up. You'll know when it's time to move forward. But get what you stepped up here for. Yield, commit your heart, vow yourself to Him, and thank Holy Spirit that He's here. Whatever's right for you right now, receive right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.